Good morning. Welcome to West End United Methodist Church. Isn't it nice to have a little bit of warmer weather today? Be out of all that deep freeze. We're glad to be here today and glad you were able to be with us. We are so glad that you're here. We would love for you to take a moment to record your attendance in the registration pads that are found near the central aisle in your pews. And if you would pass that on down to your neighbors and then pass the pad back to the center, that would be wonderful. First-time guests, you're encouraged to list any contact information you might like to leave so that we can be in touch with you and share additional information about our church. And also, as those pads go back and forth down the aisle, you can take a peek to see who it is that's sitting among you and get to know the neighbors that are on your row. We have a few announcements this week. First is that today, this early evening at 5 o'clock, there will be our monthly Taze service, and that will happen right here in the sanctuary. So we invite you all to join us for that. We had to cancel Wednesday nights last week because of the weather, but Wednesday nights are back on this week. So if you want to do dinner, please RSVP if you can by Monday, tomorrow at noon. And then our studies and classes and other offerings will resume as well as scheduled. There will be a tour today of the church building that we do every so often. So if you are fairly new here and you'd like to know more about the entire church and see where everything is, please meet at the Welcome Center that's right here in Reed Hall. And Pastor Aaron Racine will help get you on that tour for today. And you'll notice that today also has a discipleship focus. We're really honing in on what it means to follow Jesus, where Jesus calls us to go. And one of the ways that we do that here at West End is we have covenant discipleship groups that meet on a regular basis, a weekly basis, to keep one another in prayer, to study scripture together, and also keep one another accountable to their walk with Jesus Christ. If you are interested in being a part of a covenant group in 2018, you'll hear more about that in a little bit in the service, but there will be a time after the service that you can meet in the library to discuss that with some folks that are already a part of that wonderful ministry. That is all the announcements, so it is time for us to enter into worship. Let us go to God, turning our attention to the call that God has on each of our lives.
gather this day in silence and hope. We wait for God's word for us. Let your hearts and spirits be open. God is our strength and salvation. Wait patiently for the Lord. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. O God, we listen to the stories of the call of the disciples and find them interesting but unrealistic. How could we leave everything to follow you? But you are persistent and understand our doubt. You continue to call us to be in ministry and mission in our world, which may not mean leaving everything behind, but it does mean being willing to serve wherever you call us. That is hard for us, O God. We want to place conditions on service. Still, you call to each of us. Forgive us for turning our backs on serving you. Forgive us when we look the other way. Forgive us our angry attitudes and actions, which hurt rather than heal. Wrap your arms around us, healing our wounds, binding us to you. Gently move us into service in your name. Amen. Do not be afraid. God is with you. That is good news. You do not have to go through life alone wondering if anyone cares about you or knows your heart. God knows and God loves you. Rejoice, for thus it is, has always been, and will continue to be. God's love for you is eternal. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us this morning exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
the audience, the congregation, to be seated. And if there are any other children that want to come forward with parents or friends, you're welcome to come forward at this time. How is everybody doing today? Good, good. Did you enjoy the snow? Yeah, that snow was great, wasn't it? It was fantastic. Yeah, some of that snow melted. Yeah, it's all gone now, which is kind of good. So we were able to get to church today, and those of you that go to school can get back to school. But you know what? Today is a special day in our church. At the late service, we are going to give Bibles to all of the third grade students here at West End United Methodist Church. So instead of having the children's time like we're doing right now, we're going to just have the third graders come forward and they're going to receive their Bibles. You know, the Bible contains all of the stories that we hear in church every week. It also contains the very story we heard today about Jesus coming to some of these fishers on the side of the Sea of Galilee and inviting them in to his ministry and to follow him and do what he would have them do, to go out and love people and serve people, help him heal people, and help him pronounce that God is at work in all of our lives. So I would encourage you today, as you think about the fact that the third graders are getting their Bibles, maybe you could go home today. You could ask your parents, can I see one of our Bibles? I bet you've all got one at home. You might have several. Does anybody, you can just raise your hands to this. Does anybody have their own Bible that has pictures and things like that in it? Yeah, you might even have your own Bible. So I want you to go home today and look around for the story that we heard today about Jesus calling the first disciples. And go on through and see what other stories are in there. Because the Bible, well, you know what? If you don't have a Bible at your house, maybe you could ask your parents to get one. And so then you can look through and you can find those stories and start to think about how is it that God works in all of our lives. So I send you forth with that challenge today. And if you want to come back next week and tell me what you found in your Bibles, that would be fantastic. So will you say a prayer with me? Gracious Lord, you provide us with many stories of your goodness and your grace and your promise to walk with us and to lead us in paths of righteousness and to be light and goodness in the world. We ask your blessing on those third graders that will receive their Bibles today, and we ask that your Spirit be here with these children, that they might also grow to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We send them forth to search and explore and learn and grow. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Now, I think we all know that person. We all know that one person who seems to do everything just right. Now, you know who I'm talking about. It's that one person who is so unbelievably good that you think, there is no way I could ever be like him or her. That person does exactly what you wish you would do, and yet you never seem to follow through on. Most of us probably know a few people like this. And you know, the truth is, some of you may be that person in the eyes of someone else. But one thing is for certain, at least for me, that when I encounter someone that seems to have it all together, who always appears to be doing exactly what they should be, you know what? I get a little jealous. And sometimes, I even begin to feel a little bit guilty. Why can't I be more like him or be more like her, I find myself thinking. And I suspect I'm not alone in having that experience. Now, when I read this passage from Mark this week, and especially when it's such a short little excerpt, I'll admit my first response to reading about these disciples, these first disciples called by Jesus, was, why can't I be like them? I sort of had that same tinge of jealousy and guilt. I mean, just look at them. Here these fishermen are out on the Sea of Galilee doing their jobs, hauling in their nets of fish, when all of a sudden Jesus walks up and says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of people." And what did they do? Mark says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Not that they asked Jesus a few more questions or went back home to discuss things with their family first. No, they immediately dropped their nets and followed. Now, that idea of immediately dropping everything to follow Christ seems sort of appealing on the one hand. It demonstrates a radical faith to step out in hope, to step out into the unknown and trust that God is up to something really, really good. And then on the other hand, I thought to myself, this is a little bit appalling. Think how disruptive this would be to these people's lives, to just uproot their entire way of being and take on an entirely new kind of life. Yes, this idea of these fishermen immediately responding in such an abrupt way, it both challenges and disturbs. It convicts us, and I think it sometimes repels us. There's a part of me that wants to say that I would respond immediately to the call of Jesus. Still, there's another part of me that wonders if I would want any part of that at all. So no wonder I felt a little bit jealous and a little bit guilty this week. Now, my own personal experience of the Christian journey of faith and the experience of many people that I have known has been anything but immediate. Sure, there are moments when a person feels very acutely and strongly the presence of God, moments of heightened sensibility that the Holy Spirit is moving in his or her life. But you know, a lot of times these moments seem to fade away and seem far and few between. In such a powerful moment of being in the presence of God, a person may make a strong declaration of faith, may commit to a new direction in his or her life. But getting from that initial point of inspiration to a lifetime of commitment just doesn't come easily. So I began to wonder, what does this discrepancy mean? What does it say about most people's faith if it appears labored and drawn out when compared to this immediate response of these disciples? Now, perhaps you can tell by now that this word "immediately" really bugged me this week. And just as it was about to drive me crazy, I heard the voice of one of my divinity school professors in the back of my head. And he used to always say this to us. He would say, if you're reading the scriptures and you're hearing all about yourself or even about other people, then you're reading it wrong. He said, the scripture is always about God. The first and foremost, scripture is about the presence and the nature and the action and the power of God. So with that in mind, I revisited this passage in Mark, and I scanned through other parts of the book. And do you know what I noticed? Mark uses the word "immediately" a lot. In fact, those scholars who count those sorts of things say that it happens about 40 times. Perhaps Mark is just giving us the facts, like Pastor Carol suggested last week. Maybe things are really just moving quickly and everything is happening immediately. Or perhaps Mark's impatient to get to what he thinks are the good parts of the story. But you know, what I think seems most likely is that Mark is trying to tell us something about the nature of God, something about what it is that God is up to. You'll notice that just in this passage alone, the word "immediately" actually appears twice. It not only describes the response of the fishermen, but it also describes Jesus' invitation. And just a little later in this same chapter, a man is immediately healed of a sickness. So it appears that this immediate business goes far beyond just the response of a few disciples. But still, why that word over and over again? Perhaps this idea of everything being immediate has less to do with time, at least in a linear sense, and more to do with location. In other words, the work of God is so near and so immediate that it is almost irresistible. God's work is so definitely on the move through the life and ministry of Jesus that it's impossible to ignore. Now, last week we heard about Jesus' baptism by John and how Mark says the heavens were torn apart and ripped open by the Spirit of God as it descended on Jesus. I think Carol told us the word was schizomenos. Well, now this Spirit is on a fast march through the world in the person of Jesus. It is undeniably present, and people sense the Spirit at work among them. People are drawn into its powerful presence, and people are captured by its movement among them. Jesus says the kingdom has indeed come near, and these people believe it. They believe that God's presence among them is immediate, that it is now. But if immediately is not first and foremost about Jesus' proclamation of time, certainly, his saying that the time has been fulfilled has everything to do with time. But again, we're not talking about time like on a clock. The word in Greek is kairos. It means something more like the right time or the perfect moment to do something or for something to happen. In the New Testament, kairos is God's time. That moment when God's Spirit is on the move for a purpose. So what we really get in this passage is the sense that God's time has arrived, that the kingdom is on its way, that it is irresistibly close, immediate, in their face, if only these people will be open to it. Now, I'll admit, all this talk of fishers got me thinking about visits to my grandfather's house when I was a child. He lived in Hendersonville on the lake. And a lot of times when I would go visit, he would take me fishing. So we would go out to his garage, and we would get the tackle box, and then he would take my hand, and we would scamper down the bank and down the uneven steps to the edge of the water. And I remember his rough, sturdy hands rifling through the tackle box and preparing the line for me. And he would always remind me how to cast my line just right. And then, with a flick of my wrist, my line would shoot out in an arc, whirring past my ear, until that hook hit the water. And that's when the waiting began. Now, sometimes we'd get a bite right away. And other times we would cast and reel the line back over and over again with no luck at all. Now, if we weren't getting any bites, we would start to look for somewhere else to fish. We might head down the bank a little ways, or we would look for a specific place in the water where we might cast, around a rock or an outcropping. There was some science to it, but you know, it was also a lot of trial and error, casting here and there until we found some fish. And I think no matter how you go about fishing, I think that pretty much sums up the experience. It's a lot of waiting, a lot of trial and error, a lot of looking here and there for where the fish might be. So I'll bet these fishermen, Andrew and Simon and John and James, had all done their fair share of looking here and there for a good catch of fish. Their livelihood depended on this kind of casting about. And suddenly, in a moment, it was all over. When they encountered Christ and received this invitation to follow him, the project of fishing was over. Or if not over, it was at least converted into a new kind of gathering in, where before they spent their lives looking here and there for the next bounty of fish, suddenly their life had a new focus, a communal life following Jesus Christ, literally and figuratively. There was no more casting about. Are you all familiar with that term, casting about? Have you heard that phrase? Have you used it before? If you don't know it, it's an old phrase that means looking all over, near and far, for something that you need. It can also mean looking around for a plan of action or inspiration. And when confronted with the call of Jesus on their lives, suddenly these fishers had found their focus, the true mission of their lives. They had been found by God first, and then they had found God in return. Suddenly, their previous occupations became more like pre-occupations, only shadows of their deeper purpose: to be followers of the God known in Jesus Christ and to be fishers of people. What I love most about that title, Fishers of People, is that Jesus utilizes and takes their previous gifts and even their profession, the paradigm through which they understand the meaning of their life, and repurposes it. It's sort of a mirror of their former identity. They're still fishers. They're still who God has created them to be. But Christ is about to employ them in ways that they could never have imagined. And they will fish with new purpose and a new aim, no more casting about. But even in the presence of Jesus, and even when following Christ in the flesh, the disciples actually struggled in this role. They had found their center of life in the living presence of God and God's coming kingdom, but they were still human and frail. You know, if you really look on into the book of Mark a ways, you'll find the disciples often fail to comprehend a lot of the things about Jesus. They don't understand his power. They argue among themselves about status in the world and among themselves. They often misunderstand what it is that Jesus wants them to even do. And yet they follow. They stick with Jesus and with this group. No more casting about. It is in this communal life with Jesus and one another that they are enabled to carry on their new job, their new vocation. They really can't do it alone. But together they slowly come to know the fullness of Christ's call on their lives. And you know what? Eventually they become the ones to carry on the name and the witness and work of Christ long after he has left the earth. But it takes a long time for them to get to that point. So, you know, the more I think about it, the more I realize that I am a lot like these disciples after all. And frankly, each of you is a lot like them too. There was a time when most of us in this room answered Jesus' call to pursue a life of discipleship. We were baptized and we said our membership vows at some point. When we did that, we pledged to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, to resist evil, to resist justice. I mean, to resist evil and to claim justice, and to resist oppression in all of their forms, and to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior and put our whole trust in Jesus' grace. In that moment when you made those vows, when you claimed to follow Christ, you immediately turned. You did. You immediately turned to follow Jesus Christ. It was a kairos moment, a time when God's presence was alive and vivid to you. In that moment, you were called to a new vocation, just like these fishers. Each in your own unique createdness and God-giftedness, you were given a glimpse of your true occupation, your purpose behind the preoccupation that may often consume your attention. And in that moment, when you said yes to Jesus' invitation, when you said your I do's and your I will's, you found your center of life. The direction was clear. No more casting about. And here in this particular body of Christ at West End UMC, we live amongst our own little band of disciples. It's an imperfect group, to be sure, and just as was the one that comprised Jesus' first group of disciples. We too have ignored the power of God in our lives and the world. We too have sought out our own worldly status and power. We too have misunderstood the call of Jesus on our lives and the radical, life-changing, and disruptive power of the kingdom of God. Yet this imperfect group that we have gathered here, this is the one that the God known in Jesus Christ has called by the Holy Spirit to live out our vocation as followers of Christ. And the true beauty and the power of the faith that we claim together is that in this body of faith, we also live in that non-linear time We live in the Kairos time. This is God's right time, where the grace and love of God can be immediate. The kingdom is here in our face, if only we dare to notice it. No more casting about. Yes, we live in the Kairos, and the time is indeed right. God has called each of us to this moment and this time in this city, in this church. This is a moment in time where the world desperately needs to know the witness and loving power of God's sustaining grace and compassion and embrace of all persons, justice for those on the margins. Imagine if the power of the Holy Spirit to connect and transform each of us, the one that first brought us here, were unleashed all around us. Imagine if we were to claim our own vocation for real. Now, perhaps we aren't all fishers, but what if we were to claim the occupation behind our preoccupation? Maybe you're not a fisher of people, but could you be a teacher of people? Could you be a physician of people, a mechanic of people, a parent of people, an engineer of people, a student of people, a musician of people? And the list goes on and on. To what is God calling you now, today, at this moment? Because the time is fulfilled and the kingdom has drawn near. No more casting about. But even once you've clearly heard the call of Christ to follow where God is leading at this moment, you'll continue to need partners for the journey, trust me. Jesus didn't walk this path alone, and neither did the disciples. It took a deep and sustained connection to God and also to one another. And we too need each other to sustain our energy, to hold one another in prayer, to correct one another's trajectories, and to discern God's will for us as a people together. The journey is long, and it's not an easy one, but the time is right. It's time to embrace our vocation as disciples, however that looks. Jesus' call is immediate, and your response has really already been made, and the path is clear. God's kingdom is drawing near. No more casting about. And now, recognizing God's call on our lives to live out our faiths boldly and strongly, we also now, at this time, as I invite you to stand as you are able, we claim our faith as we speak the words of this affirmation of faith together that is found on 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. And now I'm going to invite Mary Mitchell up here to share a moment with us about covenant discipleship groups. She was incorrectly listed as Tom Lee, so you'll see that this is not Tom Lee. Covenant groups are a way for us to live into our call and follow where Christ is leading.
Thank you. My name is Mary Mitchell. I appreciate this opportunity to share thoughts about a project and a method. The project is a better world, not a perfect world. Only God can achieve that, but a better world. The concept of a better world calls us. We know the world is not right. We're not right. What are we to do? The method I offer for your consideration is covenant discipleship. I admire John Wesley. He promised the idea of our consideration of three simple rules: do no harm, do good, stay in love with God through devotion and worship. These rules are simple, but they are not easy to live by as they sound. Luckily, John and Charles Wesley earned the name Methodist. They realized that living the Christian life, one day at a time, in the ordinary course of the grist and grind of daily living, as David Lowes Watson has put it, requires something of us: attention, accountability. It's not something that many of us can do alone. Frankly, it's hard to get my attention. Like you, I already have a lot of commitments. But the project calls me: a better world, God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. What can I do? The issues are so complex, almost crushing. I need resilience. I need encouragement. I need an opportunity to reflect with others on my ordinary daily actions. I need a method. Sunday worship and participation in mission and outreach are crucial parts of the method. They help me understand the project, you know, the project, a better world. But forgive me for lapsing into business jargon. These important actions happen at the macro level, not always at the important micro level of my ordinary daily life with family and work and community. John and Charles Wesley recognized that if the project were to be moved along, something more was needed, a link between the macro and the micro. I call this link covenant discipleship. It happens in small groups where people agree to meet regularly to support each other and to seek to be accountable to those three simple rules: do no harm, do good, stay in love with God. Just as it is easy to start an exercise program to improve your health, but difficult to keep it going without a buddy counting on you to show up, so it is with paying attention to these simple rules to improve the health of our world. So I invite you to consider participation in a covenant discipleship group. If you feel a nudge, I hope you'll try it. If you would like to learn more, please join Reverend Brandon and several of us who are participants in the library after the service. We'll be there to informally answer questions, share our experiences, and describe how groups get organized. In fact, our goal is to start some new groups in time for Lent. If you can't stay for the after the service, there's a bulletin insert in which you can record interest, or you can just email Brandon and we will get in touch with you. By the way, these groups can be intergenerational, geographical, whatever. The most important criteria is to show up for each other. It's an old-fashioned word, but you are pillars of the community. Parents and teachers, nurses, doctors, attorneys, musicians, business owners, workers of all types. Your personal sphere of influence, large or small, is powerful. You're part of the project. Your daily interactions matter. Covenant discipleship gives you the opportunity to leverage your influence for good. I hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. One of the ways that we participate in God's great project of bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth is by being people of prayer. And every week we gather our prayers together in this time of worship, and we remember the needs and celebrations of our brothers and sisters in the faith. I want to share with you some of the joys and concerns that we share as a congregation. Robin Moore is in Vanderbilt Hospital this morning, was part of an accident yesterday, and we want to be in prayer for her for healing. Linda London and Ed Van Voorhees are happy to welcome two new grandchildren to their family. Iris Alegria Reyes was born to Ellen and Carlos Reyes on December 20th in Los Angeles, and Jacob Massey London was born to Julia and Ben London on December 23rd in Washington, D.C. There are several families that we are lifting up in prayer this morning as they grieve. Our West End member Marshall Hicks passed away on Sunday, January 14th. Services were held Saturday, January 20th in Shelbyville. We got word yesterday that our beloved church member, Catherine Burris Castleman, passed away yesterday morning. We do not yet know details about her celebration of life, but we'll let you all know. We also learned that Betty McGee is mourning the death of her brother, Joseph Slocum. He passed away on January 14th, and his services were held on the 19th. With these friends, our own needs and the needs of our world on our hearts, let us join together in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love and God of power, we have been reminded this morning that your kingdom is among us. You are immediately before us. Your power and your presence are all around us. And as your disciples, as your people, we want our eyes to be opened and our hearts to be opened that we might see and participate in your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. We look around and are aware of the pain and suffering in our world, the great need for your healing and peace and reconciliation and forgiveness. And so we offer our prayers this day as a way of participating in your healing work. We pray for the sick, those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, that your healing and peace may come to them. We pray for the poor, the downtrodden, the vulnerable, that they might be lifted up. We pray for those who grieve, that your love might bind up their hearts and bring them wholeness and comfort. We pray for ourselves, O God, with all of the noise and the many voices in our world, it is sometimes hard to hear your call. It is sometimes difficult to see your kingdom, though it is right before us. So we take a moment in the silence to be reassured of your presence and to listen for your call upon our lives. Show us, O God, how to fish for people, how to be menders and healers and proclaimers of your good news each and every day of our lives. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught his disciples and all of us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, let us offer our gifts this day in a spirit of gratitude and generosity. a gathering here yesterday of our new leaders for 2018, those who are serving on our administrative committees, those who are serving on the ministry table, and we spent several hours together praying and having conversation and some visioning, and we wanted to take a moment in worship to pray for those friends who will be leading us into ministry in the next year. So I would invite those of you who are part of our leadership team, serving in particular roles in our congregation, to stand where you are. Their names are listed in the bulletin this morning for you to take with you and be in prayer for these friends. And if you are standing next to one of these friends, if you would stand up with them and maybe place a hand on their shoulder as we pray together for them in the upcoming year. Let us pray together. Holy God, you call us into your world to be your people. And you have called forth among us these particular friends to serve in roles of leadership, to discern, to make decisions, to be praying for the future of this congregation, to lead us out in your name to spread your love within these walls and beyond these walls. And so in this moment, we ask for your special anointing and blessing to be with each and every one of them. Give them wisdom, give them faith and boldness and vision, and help each of us to offer our prayers and support to them. And in this moment, O God, we dedicate the ministry of this congregation to your goodness and glory. Help us to be your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now let us all stand together and join in singing our closing hymn.
forth to claim your vocation as people called by God, believe that God is among us and asking us to do a new thing. And I would remind you to take a tour of the church if you want, or come and hear about Covenant Discipleship groups in the library after church. Go in peace, go in God's grace, go knowing that God is with us all.